Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast. It is Monday night, which means only one thing. It is the phone-in, 0141-628-7237. Whenever you're ready, get your calls in. This Monday nights are always about you. You remember when we talk about the weekend, the fact that we're through to the quarterfinals, or maybe you're looking ahead to Wednesday. As it says on there, Rangers still fighting on all fronts and a chance to go top of the league. Or maybe you just want to talk about individual performances as well. We've got a star-studded panel for tonight. I'm usually on with the young team, but tonight it's the Rangers Daz. It's Wilf, Brian and Mark. How are you doing, Wilf? All right?
I am fine. That's not what you called us earlier, but we'll go with it. I am fine with it.
Brian, you took some stick backstage there. How are you doing, my man? All right?
Very good. I think you can delete me from the dad section for a start, unless you class my cat as the kid. But
That's your way. And Mark, you're ready for home, but you've joined us tonight. How are we doing?
I'm all right. I would like to probably you should be calling us a dream team rather than the Rangers Daz. To be fair, this is a class panel. Look at that, handsome men, handsome.
Listen, this is like the veterans, the staff studied, as I say, the guys that when I used to, before I came on here, these are the guys I was watching. So it's an absolute honour to be anchoring this one tonight. As I say, it's all about the punters, though. 0141-628-7237. Get your calls in, because Monday night we really need you to drive the show on. If you're in the comments as well, like and subscribe, please do get some comments in. We'll get them up on the screen. We'll talk them through. We'll start with the title of the show tonight. Rangers still fighting in all fronts. It's something, Wilf, that the manager has spoken about. Is taking it game by game and wanting to fight in all the competitions that we're involved in. Obviously, you were there at the weekend. You know, we're into the next round. We're in the hat, as they say. What do you take from it?
Objective exercise was getting through. We got through. It wasn't a classic. Here, to be fair to them, did the job they came to do quite well. They sat in with a bank of five and a bank of four, and which transitioned to a bank of four and a bank of five sometimes. They defended really well. We were quite wasteful at times. Object exercise, get in the hat. We got in the hat. We drew Hibs away. Quarterfinals never going to be easy, whoever you get. I was just hoping that we didn't get Greenock Mortons. I didn't fancy a trip down the tail of the bank on a Sunday afternoon, so we avoided that, so that was good. Game wasn't great. Two goals and up the road. I mean, the manager says it's a game at a time, which it is, but he's obviously looking ahead to the fact we've got a game on Wednesday, because he did. I mean, he came out in his press conference before the game and said, look, the new players can start, but they won't do 90 minutes. And they started and didn't do 90 minutes. You know, he said he was resting players because we had, you know, games coming up. Most notably, Tom Lawrence, he said he won't start because obviously a couple of important league games coming up. Ryan Jack was back and got some minutes, got rotated, rotated out halfway through the second half. I think the manager's saying he's only looking at it a game at a time, but he's obviously got half an eye on the fact we've got it's another three-game week. Then we get a midweek off before we've got two midweeks off, I think, before we start getting rattled back into Europe again. So, yeah, I think the manager's treating it the way that he has to, really.
Listen, the manager spoke about the importance of the squad, so I don't think we'll be the last time we see changes being made. Listen, first call of the night, David in Cumbernauld is on the line. David, welcome to the Rangers Rebel podcast. What's your point for the guys?
Hey, evening, guys. My wee point is just the last little while, obviously, since Clements came in, the changes have been getting gradually better and better and better with the team, especially the team they inherited. I think we've all got to take a second and remember that we had basically wrote off most of that entire team when Clement came in, and that was partly due to Michael Beale and maybe partly due to the attitude of some of the players. But I think, like, especially up front, I know we've not got brilliant strikers in there, right? Just the aggression, the movement of the ball, and it always seems as if, like, good's not good enough for this guy. So especially the rejuvenation in some of the players, like John Lundstrom, honestly thought like that guy was finished. I really did. And he's honestly came on to a different game since Clements came in.
Marcus, it's a point David makes you know, brilliantly there, the fact that it's not just all about recruitment. It's about, you know, making the players you've got better, and Clements seems to be doing that.
Very much so. Very much so. Some say he's got a magic wand. But no, seriously, what a fantastic job the man's done. And I think that probably comes from his standards that he sets, his attitude, one game at a time, and the fact that, let's be honest, I think that most of them are shit scared of him. He's got that death stare, hasn't he, that I don't think many people are wanting to cross him. But to be fair, I think that a lot of this team was exactly what they needed. I think a lot of them I've been pretty much been told pull your socks up. He'll no tolerate anything but 110%, which is working fantastically. And every time you hear one of the players talking about him in an interview, they're always wax lyrical about him. They're always praising his man management, praising his ability to get the best out of people. So I think he's done a fantastic job. There's still a long way to go, but it's very much an upward trend, and we're going very much in the right direction.
David, just obviously since the change of manager, when Michael Beale left, you probably weren't thinking much about a title challenge, I dare say. Things have changed now.
I mean, honestly, I was ready to fling the towel in. I was even ready to fling the towel in and finish in second. That's how bad we were under Michael Beale. And honestly, I know we are Rangers fans, right? Honestly, I wish him nothing but failure and misery in his football life. I really do. The guy absolutely ruined a half decent team. I know we weren't brilliant beforehand, but we could have made something of that team, and as evidenced by Philip Clement coming in and getting stuff out of this team. It's especially, you've got to think that, like, the whole ethos has changed as well. And for me, you can see there's a different energy in the players, and they've got that belief back in themselves again. They weren't in the building long and he got his first cut. And the thing for me was, it was an impossibility to think that we could have won the league. It's not only a possibility now, I think it's quite likely, considering how good we are going in it. There's one or two things I still think need to be addressed, but considering where we were and where we are now, I'd bet you honour for the where we are now when Michael Beale was there, especially after that Aberdeen game. It was absolutely killing me watching Rangers play like that.
Brian, you have to agree with David there in the sense that, is it the fact that Clements now that we've got Clement and he's come in and we've seen this change and we've seen how, you know, a real manager should be and how a manager gets a hold of a whole football club that you can then compare to what we had previous?
Yeah, I think that's perfectly correct. I'm certainly with you in the sense that I think after the previous manager, the season looked gone. I don't think anybody was giving us much sort of chance of even... we were all sort of wanting to keep the the gap respectable. But not only has he kept it respectable, he's actually got potentially a chance to go top the league on Wednesday, which I think if we all got asked that when the new manager came in, we wouldn't have believed that. He's won a cup as well, progress in the Europa League. So yeah, it's quite remarkable what he's done, considering he's only had, three guys signed in, and it's technically not his team. So for what he's done, he's motivated these players. He's got a tune out of them that Michael Beale just couldn't. And it's, as I say, it's quite remarkable where we are. And everybody's on board the Clermont train.
Absolutely. That's a line you said on the day he was rolled out. So I'm glad that you're sticking with that. David, thanks for your call, mate. Colin again, certainly. Great points. Cheers.
Thank you very much, lads.
No worries. Cheers. Wolf, is Brian says there, you know, all aboard the Philippe Clermont train, but everyone does seem to be buying into this one game at a time mantra. It's become, I don't know, it was one of those things that you see if you get told something over and over and over, you start to sort of live it, you start to believe it. You listen to Conor Goldson in the post-match interview, and he was just saying it gets to the point where we're actually just thinking about the next training session, never mind the next game.
Yeah, it's funny, it's something that I was actually talking about on Saturday before the match with George when I bumped into him in Emerson House. George, as always, great to see you, my friend. Yeah, it's one game at a time. You can't look any further. I mean, as I said a minute ago, he has to keep half an eye on it because you can't burn players out. But yeah, it's got to be a game at a time. It's our job as fans to look further ahead and get carried away and say, well, if we win the next six games, we'll be top of the league in 6 points clear. And if this happens and if that happens, then the next thing happens. But it is one game at a time. I mean, as the caller said there, who would have thought, you know, back in September, October, that we'd be 90 minutes and 3 goals away from going top of the league when we're basically just written the season off. You know, I mean, we're fighting on all fronts. We're now on for the quadruple. I mean, I don't want to hear people talking about the treble, and I certainly don't really want people talking about the quadruple, but it's all there. As the manager keeps saying, we're the only club in the country that's still in three competitions, and we've won the other one. You know, I mean, nobody else is still in three. A lot of them are still in two, or eight of them are still in two. Although, really, realistically, they're not really, because they're not going to win the league. But you know, you get the point. The manager's obviously well aware of what we've got ahead of us, and he's also well aware of the state of the fitness when players come in. I think he's just trying to manage everybody's minutes to get them all up to the same level, so that come the serious business ends around about Easter time when the split happens, and God willing, we're still in Europe with maybe quarterfinal, semi-finals of the Europa League, he's got a fully fit squad to choose from.
Listen, I'd love that quarterfinals, semi-finals of the Europa League. Sounds great, doesn't it? Listen, we've got another caller. Chris in Falkirk. Chris, how you doing tonight, mate? All right?
Yeah, not bad. How's everybody on the panel?
Hi, smashing. Delighted you've joined us. What's your point for the guys?
Yeah, just in relation to what you're actually talking about at the minute, in relation to, are we taking on too much if we're trying to get the week back with Europe and that? As we know, with Europe, that's an extra 2 games every tie that every round that we go through. So the more we go through, the more rounds we go through, that'll be an extra 2+ games, which could cause extra injuries and suspensions and things like that. I'm just worried, do we have the squad depth to really fight on four fronts?
Mark, do we have the squad depth?
I think we do now, yeah. I think probably the only place that we'll probably all agree on, we're a wee bit later, is up front. But wingers-wise, midfielders-wise, even centre-halves-wise, left-backs, right-backs, I think we're all right. I think that if you talk to any professional footballer, they'd rather play than train. So midweek, weekend, I think they'll all be quite happy with that. I think that he's shown over probably the last kind of like 5 or 6 games that he can rotate, and it doesn't really cause us too much problems with that rotation. I think we're heading in the right direction. I think once we get the new boys up to speed, I think we're in a good place. I really do. Listen, I'd rather be in all the competitions than no be in them. I understand what the caller's saying, but obviously for me, the most important thing's the league. The rest, it's just a Brucey bonus. So quite happy to be all in them. If we had to drop out of them, then so be it. But for me, the league's the one. But I think we've definitely got the squad depth for it as it stands at the moment. Players allegedly still to come back, whether they do or they don't, might be two different things. But I think we're all right. I think we're in a good place, definitely.
Chris, I'll echo Mark's sentiments. You know, the league is the important one. But, you know, if you're in the other competitions and you're winning games, does that not breed, you know, that mentality? It's going to get you over the line.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does. If you're playing all these games, it will help with confidence, team ball, especially with bringing in the number of you players that we have. The only concern is if we start maybe picking up a couple of injuries to key players, that could be a detrimental effect to the league. And as we know, what will happen is we'll progress in Europe, then we'll end up getting the Celtic game rammed in between it, and that probably won't help us. So worry about that for that. In regards to Sam Lammers, I see over in Holland, he's played 5, 3 assists and 1 goal. So it's looking promising that we might just get some of our money back on him.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because James, you know, contributor to the Rabble, was saying 10 million, no less. Brian, is it obviously it's helpful to us if he does play, you know, better there, and maybe, you know, as Chris says, we get our money back, because he's certainly not going to come back and feature for us, is he?
Don't think so. And I think it was Wolf that put in our chat that, you know, sometimes players just don't settle in certain leagues, and I fully sort of expect him to stay in Holland and get his move permanent. It just hasn't worked for the lad, and it's very unfortunate these things happen. I couldn't see him getting any better and improving. I mean, he never even looked like scoring or assisting. You know, that wonder goal he had at Dundee, that was about the only contribution he really made. And for one reason or other, he's just not settled. And he's obviously quite happy and comfortable in Holland. So, yeah, I really can't see a way back for him. It's unfortunate, but these things happen.
Chris, as always, thanks for your call, mate. Have a lovely evening. Cheers.
No problem. Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Robert's reinforced, to reinforce even Brian's point. Look at Jose Cifuentes. Came over to Europe. Couldn't settle. He's away back to South America. You know what I mean? It's okay. Lammers hasn't gone to a different continent. He's only gone to a different country. It hasn't worked for him. He's gone back, and it seems to be working. Wishing guy all the best. He's still our player. Hopefully, we make a few quid off him. At least get my money back and then some. But I mean, Jose Cifuentes is case in point. He comes over here. Beale says he's a difference maker. He's ripping it up apparently in the MLS. Comes over to Europe. Can't settle. Goes back. And he's desperate. He had offers from Europe, I believe, but he was desperate to get back to South America, and he's way back to South America. It's not for it. Moves to different countries isn't for every single player. It doesn't always work.
Well, though, would you add in that it's not just moves to different countries, it's moves to a club of this stature? You know, I know we're this Rangers podcast, right?
100%.
This is different gravy.
100%. I mean, there's guys that we've been told have grown up as Rangers supporters. I've gone to a couple of Rangers and gone, fucking, this is bigger than I thought it was. And they're supposed to know. You know what I mean? I mean, I think we'd all get a fright if we walked in that door. And we're all Rangers supporters. Just how intense it is there. We know how big it is, but it's just how intense it is. I mean, you go back to the mid-80s. Right? I always remember an interview Terry Butcher did when he was coming up from Ipswich Town, and he'd offers to go to Man United. He'd offers to go all over the place. And he said he came up to Glasgow to speak to Graeme Souness, and he was walking about a supermarket. And he says there was dozens of folk coming up. Terry, great to have you with us, big man. And he says this is different than anything he'd ever seen. He's walking about shopping with his wife, and there's people saying, great to have you with us. You've got to come and join us. You know what I mean? You don't get that in England. You don't get that anywhere else. You can walk about. It probably scares a lot of players because they don't realise they don't have a life once you sign for. It's probably the same in the other side of the city, right? Once you sign for, certainly for us and probably for them, right? You don't have a life because everybody wants to either tell you that you love you, that they love you, or tell you that you hate you. You can't go out, you don't have a life. And that's difficult, particularly for a young player, you know? And a young player with a young family, it must be really, really difficult in a new, especially the move to a new country, trying to get settled. You know what I mean? It can't be easy for them. And yeah, what's it always say? The weight of the jersey is really, really heavy, and it's not for everyone. There's been some really, really good players come to Rangers, and the weight of the jersey has just absolutely crippled them.
Listen, 01416287237, get your calls in. You could be next on. Mark, just a point Shona brings up there, actually, just on off the back of the Lammers call there. Cantwell's performance is number 10 since Lammers left. It's been different class. Is that something you'd go along with? Is it actually benefiting him? Because he's been sort of shoehorned into other areas, wasn't he, to try and accommodate Lammers under Michael Beale?
Very much so. I think the last, I think what's that, five goals in the last eight games. So that proves, I mean, start of the season, from the season to that point, I don't think anybody scored maybe one. So it just shows you that, I think that he's just come on leaps and bounds the last, probably, so obviously since the turn of the year. Looks apart again, looks hungry, looks as if he's confident. As I said, he's kind of getting back to the Cantwell that we know and love, the Cantwell that we, of last season. I think as well, part of that, I think he's injury-free now as well. I think probably the first half of the season, it looked as if he was playing through injury a bit, as well as being flung wide out in the right and dropping deeper into midfield and trying to play him as an eight and all sorts of experiments. And I think probably we persevered with Lammers a little bit more than most of us would have, or most of us would like to have, purely for the fact that we paid a lot of money for a boy. So I think that he's thriving in this position, and I think that with his movement, his intelligence, and Big Silva's movement intelligence, I think I'm expecting big things for the two of these boys. It looks as if he's in another level at the moment. Even when he came on in the second half at the weekend there, it looked impressive, was probably the first word that springs into my mind. It looked really, really good. So, yeah, I agree 100% with Shona. I think that he's got the potential to kick on and be even better than we've seen him before. So I'm really looking forward to it. Really exciting to see how he does for the rest of the season.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Brian, let's stick with Saturday's game, because I want to try and sort of tidy that up before we move on to maybe Wednesday night and obviously the wider picture. But the two new boys started the game, Oscar Cortez and Mamadou Diamandé. I think, we're all in agreement that Cortez really stole the show, especially first 20 minutes, really lively, gets a couple of shots away, just heavily involved in everything good that Rangers were doing. What did you make of both players, just sort of separately and collectively as they fitted into the side?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's obviously going to take a bit of time for them both to find their feet and settle in and get comfortable. But as you said there, off on the face of that game on Saturday, Cortez, as you said, was brilliant. He was one of these. He was like a winger just willing to go at a fullback. He wasn't sort of second guessing himself and thinking, right, I'll go back, or I'll cut. He was either going out wide to get a cross in, or he was cutting inside and taking a shot. And he was full of beans. And it was great to see a winger doing that. And then Diamandé, again, nothing flashy, but again, it's going to take him a few games to get into the sort of flow of the team. But again, these two young lads have just come in, and they're obviously confident young lads, and they're buzzing. Of course, Diamandé in social media today winding up Big Balogun with the African Cup top. So it's good to see that they've got a bit of banter in the team as well. So it's just nice to have these young lads in and very hungry. Simple as that.
Well, I think we need to remember, Diamandé hadn't played since November, so that's nearly 3 months inactive. I know we keep myself ticking over training, what have you, but in terms of match fitness, match sharpness, as they call it, probably lacking there slightly. And as you, I think, alluded to earlier on before we came on, just playing in a really congested part of the pitch, he didn't do anything wrong, but he wasn't a standout.
No, he wasn't a standout, because as we said before we came on, he was in a very congested area in the field. There was, Ayr had basically their whole team back in defence, and he was trying to work around about that. Cortez stood out a bit because he was out on the wing. He was a bit more isolated. And as Brian said, he did the simple things that a winger's supposed to do. He ran at guys, and if he wasn't running at me, he was cutting inside. He wasn't trying to be fancy. He wasn't trying 300 step-overs and all that sort of nonsense. He wasn't trying to beat the guy three times. That might come in his game when he's more settled. I mean, let's not get carried away. It was only Ayr United when we were playing with the greatest respect to Ayr United. But, I mean, he looked the part for me. Cortez looked the part for me. As you said, Diamandé did nothing wrong. Good minutes to get in his legs. And that game on on Saturday. Was it Saturday? Was Saturday, wasn't it?
That game on Saturday
would be a good indicator to what he's going to face playing for Rangers, because most teams are going to come and do what Ayr did. So it's not going to be a shock to him. It's not like his first game was against maybe Hibs at Easter Road, when they actually had a wee bit of a go at us. They thought, oh, I'm going to get some of the ball here. His first game was against a team at Ibrox who are going to come and park two buses, which is what he's going to face most weeks. So at least he knows what he's up against when he comes in.
Mark, the man on the opposite wing, Scott Wright, has took a real bashing since full-time. He's been compared to numerous parts of stationary furniture in this chat. I've seen a park bench, I've seen a bar stool, I've seen a number of things. So I sort of spoke about on the reaction and just sort of saying that, you know, you are only going to get a high caliber of player that's going to be willing to come and play that small part. So what do we do in that scenario? Like, what is the best route forward? Do we keep him? Do we let him go? Do we bring a youngster in? Martin was even advocating there's got to be a youngster there. There's got to be a youngster there. But is there a youngster there? That's the question.
I don't know if there is. Probably Wolf would be the best man to talk about the Rangers youth. But for me, Plank I would. I've willed the young guy to come on to a game and be better. And I think it's his decision-making. I think there's definitely talent there. His decision-making baffles me. It's almost as if he gets into a decent position and then just panics or gets flustered and just picks whatever comes into his head first, rather than actually thinking about it and trying to see the game moving forward. For me, it's time. It's time we wrapped it up with a wee man. I'm afraid. I think his times came and went. I think he's been here long enough that he's no kicked on. He's no kicked on at all. And for me, that I think the bell's tolling in his Rangers career. I think he needs to go. I'm not sure what his contract length is, but for me, I think even for his own career, I think the boy needs to move. I think that he's been a bit part player for what, 2 or 3 years nearly now, and he's got 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Started a game, no really done it. Fell away for 3 or 4 games. Come back and get 15 minutes. It's not any good for a professional footballer, especially he's not getting any younger as well. For me, his time's up, I'm afraid. I don't think he's good enough. I think he'll be a really good player in another SPFL team, but no for Rangers, I'm afraid.
Well, just on the point Aldo makes there about Aaron Lyle, obviously he featured yesterday at Airdrie against Hearts. He's going to be there, obviously, until the end of the season. Is that maybe something or someone you see getting promoted into the full squad at the start of next season at the expense of someone like Scott Wright?
They're two totally different players for a start, but I get the point. Scott Wright's probably the luckiest man at Ibrox now. He's played over 100 games for Rangers. There's a lot better Rangers players in the past not come anywhere close to three figures in appearances for Rangers. I fully believe he's only still there for the European coefficient because he's another bum on the seat when they travel to Europe with the Scottish thing. We have to move him. He's one of the guys that has to go in the summer because he won't be on ridiculous money, but he'll be on a fair lift. So we could do with getting that off the wage bill. That's the problem. I think that's why he didn't go to Turkey, because they weren't offering him what he was prepared to go for. I don't think it was the fact that it was Turkey. I think it was just the package wasn't what he wanted, because he'll be on decent money at Rangers. So it's because he's under contract, it's whether we could get somebody to actually come in and buy him. We might have to stick him out on loan if he'll go. I don't know how Aaron Lyle's getting on it at Airdrie. Didn't see much of that game yesterday. I was walking about Airdrie with my dog at the time because my missus was at the game. I've got no idea how he's getting on. I haven't seen him playing for Airdrie, but there is guys like him, like Bailey Rice, that could come into the team. Mark's point on youth players, it's quite difficult because we don't see much of them just now because there's no structure other than this best by best thing that they do. We never see those games live. You know, I mean, they're playing a best by best game down in Bolton tomorrow at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something ridiculous, and I don't think there's any way to watch it. So we don't know who the next youth player off the rank is going to be because we just don't get to see them.
Okay, I think there might be a caller in the offing, so I'm just going to do a bit of what they call padding. This is what you call padding, right? The producer's stuck in a quiz question here for the panel, so I'm going to read it out and do my best Magnus Magnusson impression. John Gregg won a European Cup Winners' Cup against Real Zaragoza on a coin toss. But what country's currency was used? If you know the answer straight away, let's maybe try and drag it out a wee bit. But just, I'll leave that with these. I'll come back to these maybe after the halfway point. But yeah, I'll give you it again. John Gregg won a European Cup Winners' Cup tie against Real Zaragoza on a coin toss. What country's currency was used? Okay, think on that as I see that with the padding. The padding worked out well because Davey's now on the line for Edinburgh. Davey, welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast.
Hello, guys. Hello. How are you all?
Oh, smash it, Davey. I hope you're well. What's your point for the guys?
Point was, as I was saying to Martin there, the signings that he's made, they're looking much more quality signings than the signings that Beale made anyway, bar a couple, we know, obviously, about Butland. Just thinking about the thought, looking ahead, not just this season, but looking ahead to next season when he gets his summer signings in as well, I'm looking at that forward line. I don't know about Seema. Will he get to sign Seema as well? That's part of that as well. But I'm looking at that forward line, Ortiz. I know he's an option, but option usually means that you get the first dibs, don't you? Well, I hope that's the case, because we lost Stuart and Tillman. Ortiz, Seema, Cantwell. He gets a really good striker up front. It's got Diamandé in the midfield. Obviously, he's brought on players as well, like, say, Lundstrom, we know about. It's looking good for the future if the signings, as he gets the signings right, you know? But so far, he has got them right.
Brian, obviously, we've brought in a director of football. We all seem very impressed with the guys we've brought in during this window. So there's a trust there and a positivity, as Davey's just reflected, that we can go and get a recruitment right this summer like we maybe didn't do last summer.
Yeah, and I think purely the reason why we didn't sign an out-and-out striker is purely because they didn't see value in the player. They couldn't get the guys they wanted, more importantly, I think. Because obviously, Clement's signing guys for specific sort of positions. He's not just signing them for, you know, just for getting bodies in. He's wanting the right guys in. So it's probably a combination of you couldn't get the guy that you wanted or the value wasn't there in the price. So, because if you look along the M8, I mean, you know, there was figures of 4.5-5 million that they were wanting. So did Rangers just think, no, we're not, there's no value in that purely because of his contract situation? You know, he's got 18 months to go. So he got Silva in early doors in the January, you know, quite early. So he obviously thought that between him and Dessers that he would see them through the season, although I would have liked somebody else, but the manager's quite comfortable with that situation. So, again, as you just said, we've got to trust the Coppin and Clement with their judgments, because as the caller just said there, everything's been pretty spot on so far.
Davey, just on what Brian's saying there about the forward area and Dessers and Silva, have you seen enough from Silva? And you think he's getting better game on game?
Oh, he looks fantastic. I agree with the lads, he's not an out-and-out number nine. He's more of a linked-up player. But, yeah, he looks fantastic. The front line's starting to click a bit better. Obviously, Dessers, we know he could be in and out, you know. But do the guys, just one another thing, do the guys think we'll still try and sell, because we've no sent them back to Brighton, do the guys still think we'll try and sell, sign Seema?
Mark, I'll come to you on that, because some of the people in the comments when we were talking about Lammers were saying, get 4 million from him, that's half the money to put towards Seema.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be, it might be a bridge too far, unless Brighton bring their price down. I think that's a big, massive chunk of our transfer budget in the summer that's going to go on one player, which, as it looks as if we have just brought in a young player that can play in that position, that's probably going to be half.
Could you possibly
price.
Take him on another season's loan with an obligation to buy, though?
100%, I would, yes. I would bite the hand off you for
so
that.
So you're spending money for the following transfer window, you know?
Yeah, I think you should maybe get a job at a board level at Rangers, because that's
well, well, that's what yeah, because that's what they've done with Diamandé, so they could do that with Seema.
Yes, 100%. I think that's a great bit of business. Whether they would go for it or not, it's two different things. I think probably what we've got in our favour is I think the boy really, really likes it here, and I think he would be very, very happy to sign and stay here, I think. So I think he's loving life at Rangers. I think it's very, very unfortunate that he's got this injury. But I think great bit of business if we can do that. Whether we can or not might be two different things. I think the problem is he's done quite well up here, and I think that maybe other people have maybe opened their eyes to that and seen how good a player that the boy is, and there might be a few people looking to take him and might be able to afford him and pay that money. So I think this is probably what a what's that what's the saying that we're a thing of our own success. Yeah, a victim of our own success. Yes, I think that that's probably going to be the problem there, because I mean, he's a good player, very good player, scores a lot of goals, and I think we all forget as well he's a young boy and he's going to get better.
Yeah,
definitely going to get better. So,
am I right in thinking he's only got 1 year left?
I'm not sure. No, I think he's got a couple of years left. I'm not 100% sure.
I thought it was 1 year when this season runs out, so that's why I'm thinking we might get him on a season loan with an obligation to buy.
Brian's the transfer market man. He'll be on that right now.
Aye. I'm not sure.
He's got one year left in the summer. Shona's all over it. 1 year in the summer.
Aye. Yeah. There you go then. So get him on an obligation to buy, a year's loan obligation to buy. Davey, I think we'll sign him.
Davey, thanks for your call, mate. As always, cheers, mate. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, just on Seema, is he going to have to try and prove himself again? Because he was in a great vein of form, arguably probably the best in his career to date in terms of scoring goals. But he's the injuries. Quite a long one. He's going to have to come back and try and recapture the form that he showed first half of the season.
I personally don't think the injury's going to be quite as long as they've led us to believe. Because if it was, I think they'd have put him back to Brighton. I think we'll definitely see him. Before the end of the season, that would be lovely, Sharpie. But they're not allowed to do that. Financial fair play would go into absolute meltdown. I think we'll. Again, going back to what I said earlier, I think they're probably looking to try and get him back maybe about Easter time, which will add to the strength of what we've got. Hopefully by then, young Zach Lovelace is getting a few minutes, you know, to take the pressure off a Silver and Dessers up front. You know, I mean, Lovelace isn't the answer to our striking problems, but it's a rotation option when we're maybe a couple of goals up and, you know, just to give them a wee bit of time off. But Seema, I'd love to see Seema back in another season loan. And if we get him on a season loan, it means he wants to be here. We'd just be able to sign him for nothing at the end of that season. We'd always have to make him some promises about wages and stuff like that.
It's all down to player power these days, don't they? Hopefully he goes and says to Brighton, look, I want to go here. Can we just make it happen? But we'll wait and see. Listen, 0141 628 7237. Get your calls in. Just let's leave Saturday behind. The last thing I want to say about it, and it was quite evident in the comments after the game, Brian, Nico Raskin seems to be going through a tough time with the supporters at the moment. People really split on him. Some wild accusations being thrown at him after the game. People saying that he shouldn't have come out and said what he said about playing for Chelsea and stuff like that. But you can only answer that way. Performances, and have performances been as good as what he shows to the tail end of last season today?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got ambition. Nobody minds that. But you've got to back up performances to suffice that you would possibly get a move to that sort of club. He's obviously not long back off an injury, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense that he's obviously still, you know, finding his feet after, you know, being out injured, a period of time out injured. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt just now, just to get him back up to speed. Because obviously, even though they're straight back into, you know, they're playing first team games, it's always, you're maybe fit, but then the match fitness will just maybe, your sharpness will just not quite be there. So I'm willing to give the lad the benefit of the doubt. He's only just back, so yeah, I'll cut him some slack just now.
Mark, is it more a case of now though the fact that he's got, there's more players in there putting him under pressure? You've got Sterling, you've got Diamandi, Ryan Jacks now back as well. Tom Lawrence can come in and play in that midfield three. So it's going to be harder for him to nail down that jersey. I know the managers, I said earlier on, spoke about rotation and how, you know, big the each player's going to play in terms of the story of the season. But for Raskin himself, if he's got aspirations of playing in the Premier League, then he's going to have to sit up, he's going to hit form consistently.
Yeah, I think that's a massive part of it. Consistently, look, we know what the wee man's capable of. Listen, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, we were all getting Cantwell stick. Me personally wasn't, but majority of Rangers fans were giving him stick. Now all of a sudden, we're praising him, playing some of the best football he's played for Rangers. Blah blah blah. Five in the last eight games. I mean, is it just we need somebody to work? Is this it? I mean, can we no batter Tav again? Is that we'll batter Tav again next week and we'll leave Raskin alone? And I mean, come on, let's just get behind the team. Let's just get behind every player. Why are we getting... Raskin last season was one of our best players. He's been injured. He's on and off. He's had a couple of injuries. He's back and forward. He's not really had a run. I'm sure the wee guy gets a run. I'm sure he'll show 100% show he's worth in this team. What is the saying that form's fleeting, class is permanent? This boy's class. He's a good player. We've all seen him. Been a good player. It doesn't all of a sudden, because he's had an injury and not had a run of games and struggling for a wee bit of form. All players are going to struggle for a bit of form from time to time. The problem is, in the first half of the season, there was 15 of them that had lost form all at one time, and they were all looking rotten. So I just got off his back. I said, he's got a lot more players running about him that are all starting to hit form. So that'll should ease the pressure off the boy. Let the boy try and get fit, try and get match sharp, like Brian says. And he'll come back as strong as he was. I've got no qualms whatsoever that this boy will come back and be one of our top players once again. I think it's madness, the fact that he's getting harangued by all sorts of people. It's mad, mental.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's always got to be somebody that's getting stick, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
It moves from player to player, week to week.
Blows my mind. We're meant to be fans. We're meant to be supporters. We should be behind our players. No guys, getting stick, especially the run we're on.
That's not just a couple. That's every club. You know, players will...
No, but Robert, we're the most bipolar support in football, without a question. The Rangers support are mental. I mean, Richard Goff summed up a few years ago. He says, most clubs, you're as good as your last game. Rangers, you're as good as your last pass. And that's it. That sums it up. That's it.
Brilliant. That's really good, though. That's class. I love that. Right, okay, then. We will park the weekend. Unless you want to talk about it, you can. 0141-628-7237. But I want to push attentions onto the game on Wednesday night. Well, it's our game in hand, the one that was cancelled I think it was the 27th, was it, of December. And Ross County are coming to Ibrox. It's a chance for us to go top of the league. Surely we've got to grab that with two hands.
Well, I heard tonight there's forecast of snow tomorrow, so I really hope Ross County are travelling.
I'm just having a quick look now. Just now.
No, not again. Lightning doesn't strike twice, surely.
I don't think it's supposed to be that bad, to be fair, but no. The game will go ahead, I'm quite sure, on Wednesday. It's not going to be the picnic everybody seems to think it is. I mean, they're having a really tough time with it. Just say they've lost another manager, but it was only a matter of time before he went, because he was just having a torrid time in the stud trip back there. It would be great to win by enough to go top of the league, but the important thing is we win the game. You know, we can't afford to drop any points. I would rather win the game 1-0. Then draw 1-1, chasing two or three goals in the last 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, it'd be great to go in 4.5 at half time. I mean, we're important on Wednesday. I mean, last Tuesday at Ibrox, it was, you know, there was all the calls for it's Aberdeen. Let's get the place rocking. Let's have it like a European night. It has to be like that again on Wednesday, because it's not who the opposition are. I mean, the sheep were giving it all. Look, they're trying to make it a European night because it's Aberdeen and it's a rivalry and all this nonsense. It's because of what can be achieved. Had we beat them by enough last week, we'd have gone top of the league for 24 hours. Right? If we beat Ross County by the required amount, we're top of the league until the weekend. That's massive because that gives the time, that gives the Tims loads of time to think about it. And it gives their support loads of time to get on their back. And we'll see how they handle the pressure. You know what I mean? I mean, we could, I'm not trying to preempt things, but we could be going to Perth, stretch a lead because they might bottle on Saturday. We just don't know. But for that to even be in anybody's thoughts, we have to do the business on Wednesdays. We'll have to, in the first instance, win the game, but hopefully win it very, very comfortably.
Somebody needs to check if the law's got a snow machine delivered at Christmas to see what's going on here. That's too much of a coincidence for me. Brian, it's actually a point I wanted to talk about a bit later, but I'll bring it in now because Wolf mentioned it about atmosphere. Now, I was talking to Wee Stuart Wright, obviously a contributor on the podcast after the Aberdeen game, and just sort of saying, you know, testament to the manager and the players actually that the atmosphere is like in Ibrox at the moment. And the manager called on it again. He commended the fans, you know, for the numbers they turned out to watch here at the weekend, and also how they're driving the team on. It's really good at the moment.
Yeah, it's really an enjoyable experience to be in the stadium just now. You're looking forward to the games. You're looking, you know, you're excited to get there, and you're excited to see what the team is, and you know, you're all speculating before the games now, whereas before you were just sort of resigned to the same sort of selections. You kind of knew what the former manager was going to pick, and you weren't really getting excited about it, whereas now, you know, Clement just doesn't sort of he's very flexible in his selections. He's not nailed on, oh, I'm picking him. He's my, you know, like Beale and his mates, he was getting that sort of tag a lot. He was picking his mates. So no, it's a really enjoyable experience now, and everybody's buzzing. And with the second chance now to go top of the league on Wednesday, Wednesday should be absolutely buzzing. The players should be buzzing for that as well, because as Will says, that's big psychological, you know, being top of that league. And you never know what's going to happen at the weekend.
Mark, just on personnel, you know, do you see many changes from the weekend? Do you think players will come out? I dare say Scott Wright will make way again for Ross McCausland. That'd probably be a certainty. Will that midfield three change? Will Barisic come out and Ridvan come back in? How do you see it shaping up on Wednesday night?
I see there have been a few changes. I think that he's getting close to knowing. He's starting 11. I've got a funny feeling Cortez is going to start on the left. For me, I think Barisic comes out, even though he scored a goal. I think, and Ridvan goes back in there. I think Ross will come back. McCausland's definitely coming back. And I've got a funny feeling Dessers will play up front as well. He'll start. I've got a funny feeling. I think he likes to try and keep everybody sharp. So for me, I think there will be a few changes. Midfield three, Dio Mandy's not going to start. I maybe get another 20 minutes, half hour at the end of the game just to give him a wee bit more game time. But I can see Lawrence coming back in. And Cantwell as well. So that's your three in the middle.
Do you think, just staying with you, Mark, Jack will come out, Lundstrom comes back in? Because I dare say, you know, I didn't think we would be saying this, but I think we missed him.
Yeah, no, and testament to Clement as well, because I think he's got the best out of a lot of players, and I think probably the biggest beneficiary of Clement coming in has been Lundstrom. I think Lundstrom's rightly so. I mean, going back to the first couple of months of the season, we would all chase him. Every single one of us sitting here in the panel would have chased him. Everybody. And I think probably there's no many that would have kept him. But I think that now, as I said, testament to Clement, he's back to being the I was going to say the greatest on earth, but he's back to playing that kind of style of football. He's back to being a linchpin in the middle of the park. So for me, I would give the boy another contract and a heartbeat. I think he's exactly what we need. So yeah, I would think Jack, same again, will get rested. I don't think Jack's got two games in a week in him, which for me shows you that I don't think he's getting a new contract. I don't I really don't. I see it then, which is sad because I really like Jack. I think Jack is a very, very intelligent player, and he brings a lot to this squad. But for me, as I said, Lundstrom's outshining pretty much everybody in the middle of that park.
Okie dokie, as we head into the home stretch, 0141 628 7237, get your calls in. We'd like to bring you on, have a wee chat, bring some points up. But yeah, Wilf, so as I say, we've spoken about the importance of always talking about one game at a time, but I have sort of drawn up the next five fixtures, so I'm not going to take it one game at a time for this wee segment. But we've always got Ross County, St Johnstone away, and then it's Hearts at home, Killy away, and Motherwell at home before the next Scottish Cup tie. Obviously, it's a busy old schedule, but there's nothing there that really jumps out as you know, as petrifying, as intimidating it might have been under the previous regime.
No, it's the old adage, just one game at a time, and we just have to keep ticking off the victories. I mean, it doesn't have to be scintillating stuff. It would be great if it was. I mean, Saturday was quite attritional, but we got the result and getting into the quarterfinals. As we say, Wednesday, an emphatic victory would be great. A 1-0 gets you the same amount of points. So let's get the games won and ticked off. I think of the games coming up, obviously Kilmarnock's going to be difficult because on that stupid carpet they've got a rugby park, that's not going to be pretty. And the trip to St Johnstone, well, they're fighting for their lives, so you know that's going to be quite difficult. It's got to be one game at a time. I don't want to look as far forward as that, but then we're saying we're fighting on all fronts. We really have to because the cup tie's kind of after all that lot. So I mean, you've got to also factor in we've got Europe just around the corner as well. You know, I mean, European draws that we're involved in is a week on Friday. So, you know what I mean? We're back into it shortly after that. So, it's getting a very, very busy time. It's a busy time of the season again. But just got to keep chalking off the wins. The support have been brilliant recently. I mean, since Clement came in, the support have been fantastic. As we've been touched on, they've been really, really patient. We'll have to keep with that. If we're toiling in a game, just stick with it. It'll come. You know what I mean? The win should come. The good thing is we're not conceding goals, so we don't need to be scoring a lot. You know, I mean, under certain management, recent managers, we've needed to score two or three to win a game because we're always going to concede. I mean, for a while, under Steven Gerrard, we were going behind in every single game, so we were having to score two and three to win the game. We've conceded something ridiculous at 12 goals this season. We're not losing a lot of goals. So when you're not losing goals, you only need to score one. And okay, it's a bit nervy. Doesn't do much for the blood pressure. The second one's always important in case something happens. But if you're not conceding, the one's enough. And that's all we need to look at. One game at a time, one goal at a time. Keep it tight at the back. And I hope somebody has a word with Goldson after Saturday because I thought he had a bit of a shock on Saturday. I don't know whether he took air too lightly or he just isn't comfortable playing beside Suter. I'm not quite sure. But Goldson wasn't great on Saturday. But we can give him a pass because he's normally the linchpin of the defence. Just need to continue keeping clean sheets, keep scoring goals, and it's all coming home, boys.
Well, listen, it's a point I want to come on to, actually, Brian, is the defence, because, you know, we are keeping a hell of a lot of clean sheets, best defence in the league, but yet we are still digging players out like Wilf just had, because you can see it with your own eyes. We spoke about this the other night, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe your eyes or do you believe the stats? Like, it's hard to know which way to go with it.
It's probably a bit of both. It's always the case for a defender if he gets caught like he did against Aberdeen, where the ball went over his head and you get caught under it there. Just little moments like that. It's probably like the goalkeepers. You know, if they make a mistake, it's magnified by 100 because the goalkeeper's a crucial part of the team. And if he doesn't make a save or blunder something, it costs a goal. So it's, you know, it's very costly. And I suppose as well, it's the fact that Goldson, you know, he had that mistake against Aberdeen and he wasn't great against Ayr. So, yeah, as I said before, there's always somebody being the sort of the hatchet man getting sticks. So it seems to be Goldson's turn now. But as Wolf says, he's been very consistent for us for a long time and he's another one that deserves, you know, you can't play well all the time. And I think he deserves a little bit of slack as well, because I think he's more than repaid us in time played. You know, he went something stupid like 200 or 300 games without missing a game. So if only all our players were like that.
Listen, we've got another call. I'm delighted to say Gary in Edinburgh's on the line. Gary, welcome to the Rangers Rebel podcast.
Thanks for having me. I've been on a few times, and it's always great to have the opportunity to come on. I just wanted to touch on a few points that you obviously brought up. You're talking about the atmosphere. I've got my season ticket in East Enclosure, and I agree with you on the like say Wednesday night. The noise should be cranked up, because it's all good and well that it is Ross County, and we've seen games like this before. I mean, the crowd can be quite quiet, but I mean, if it's the same as what it was against Aberdeen, I'd be very, very happy, because it's the one time that we need the atmosphere cranked up, and especially with a chance to go top of the league.
Mark, it's a point well made. As I say, the fans have been great. I mean, after the Aberdeen game, it was testament. People stayed in the ground. You know, there was a real sort of carnival atmosphere. People wanted to be there and be part of it and keep celebrating. So can that be continued into Wednesday night?
I think so. I think that as long as we keep playing decent football, we keep winning games, keep scoring goals, no conceding goals, then, as I said, that upward trajectory is just going to keep building and building. I think that there's almost like a feeling that when we go and play, we're going to win. Every time we play, we're going to win. So, whereas first half of the season, that wasn't the case. We were a lot of times watching games of football from behind the sofa. So, I think that the fans, we all know the fans are massive at Ibrox, best fans in the world. And when Ibrox rocking, it must be, as a player, it must be an absolute joy to play. It must be absolutely brilliant to have that kind of support behind you, as you say, the 12th man. So I think that the players know how to make this crowd get behind them, and they just need to keep doing what they're doing. They keep doing what they're doing. The fans will keep responding to what they're doing, and the whole juggernaut will just keep going and keep rolling and keep rolling. So for me, yeah, it's definitely a massive part, as I said, and long may it continue. We keep cheering them on, they keep winning. There's only going to be one inevitable outcome at the end of the season, isn't there?
Gary, you obviously say that you enjoyed the atmosphere at Aberdeen, and you hopefully, you know, you wanted to continue it Wednesday night, but what do you think is the reasoning behind it? What is it, the players? Is it the manager? What's changed?
Hey, I think to be fair, it's obviously there's been a couple of new signings, but I think it's the manager, to be fair, because if you look at where we were under Michael Beale, I mean, not one Rangers supporter, or in my opinion anyway, I think, and everybody else, I can't really talk for anybody else, but in my opinion anyway, if you look at where we were, no one would ever think that we would have a chance of actually winning the league this year. So, I mean, to actually still have the chance of winning the league, and to obviously go top of the league if we win by more than two, I mean, you've got to sit there and see. I mean, the feel-good factor back at Ibrox, and it's great as a Rangers supporter to actually get these times where you're sitting there, you've won the Betfred Cup, and obviously we're still in the Scottish Cup, and we could go top on Wednesday night. I mean, it's as a Rangers supporter, you can't get much better than that.
Gary, thanks again for your call, mate. We'll speak to you again real soon. Enjoy the game Wednesday.
Thank you. Not any bother.
Cheers, man. There you go, Wilfie. I thought your head was going to fall off there when he called it the Betfred Cup. I could see you sort of, oof, I'm loving that. Still the Coca-Cola Cup in your house, isn't it? Always.
No, it's still the Scottish League Cup. I can go back to before it was sponsored.
Skull Cup, it should always be.
We've actually got
the Skull Cup in our trophy room. Because we won it three times in a row. Yeah, we've got two of them. We've got the original one and the one that replaced it.
I say, you don't get that with the young team panel, I tell you that. You don't get that kind of knowledge. Listen, I just wanted to talk to you guys. We've got 5 minutes left, and obviously, you know, you're our elder statesman of the game. Blue cards, Brian. The manager was talking about this, I think, in his presser before the game at the weekend, and just sort of saying it's not for him. Too many sort of players on and off, and there'd be, you know, it's for me, I think there's enough stoppage in the game as it is at the moment. To bring that in would just be taking away from the spectacle and an absolute nonsense, to be brutally honest.
Are you honestly trying to tell me that giving these Scottish referees an extra card to play with is going to help them? No, they can't even handle the two they've got. So, no, I'm just not having this blue nonsense. Why can't they just use a yellow card for those? You know, the yellow card system works fine. It's not rugby where the game stops and starts. It's a fluid game. You can't have, you know, as you said there, I mean, I think they said in the Premier League at one point there was only 58 minutes of football in the 90 actually on the pitch. So they're losing about half an hour of the game just with time wasting and other stuff. So, no, our referees are bad enough. We don't want to confuse them anymore. We're giving them an extra card. So, no, it's a no from me.
Robert, a friend of mine that was at the game with on Saturday drove me into the game on Saturday. He actually took his turn driving for a change, which is very unusual, but thanks very much, Ronnie. I can see that actually he won't be watching because he's not quite sure how to use a computer. So he's but yeah, he made a very, very valid point, right? See, the manager made the point, when does the 10-minute start? Is it when the card gets brandished or when the guy goes off the pitch or when he sits in wherever he's sitting, blah, blah, right? What happens, right, if your goalkeeper commits a blue card offence, because you have to have a goalkeeper. So are you disadvantaged for 10 minutes with an outside, with an outfield player going in? Do you put on your sub-goalie for 10 minutes? How does that work?
They said on, I think it was the radio or Sky Sports today, I heard that if it's a goalie that's blue carded, you either put an outfield player in for the 10 minutes until he comes back on, or you make a permanent sub with a goalie.
But then that's treating goalkeepers different to outfield players, so you can't. To me, you can't have the rule different ways for different
players. Hold on a minute. If you make a permanent sub, so you take an outfield player off, put another goalie on, and then what happens with the guy that's meant to come back on anyway?
That was the explanation I heard.
Well, I don't like it. No, it's garbage.
That's too, so what you do is you substitute the goalkeeper, so he's not actually spending 10 minutes in the bin, and you're carrying on with 11 men. That doesn't make sense.
It's a lot of nonsense.
It'll never happen. It works in rugby because rugby stop start, right? They stop and start the clock all the time, and the plays all stop start, right? So in football, if they bring in the ten minute and you've got to sit in the bin for 10 minutes, you come back on, almost guarantee that half the players that come back on after been out for 10 minutes, they're going to pull something because they won't be properly warmed up. So do you spend 5 minutes sitting in the sin bin and then 5 minutes running up and doing the touchline warming up before you come back on? Or do you do your 10 minutes, then your 5 minute warm ups, you're off for 15 minutes?
We'll start seeing exercise breaks in the dugout and all sorts of.
They actually do that, believe it or not, they do that in rugby.
It's a funny game.
Not in the sin bin, in the actual dugout, rugby league. You'll see if you watch the Super League, rugby league players will sit on exercise bikes in the dugout.
Right, gentlemen, we've got, just before we go, we've got this teaser to finish up. So.
Am I not getting my say? Or the blue cards?
If it's nice and quick, you can have your say. Come on, get stuck
I'll
in.
I'll be fucking rapid. Away and flying shite to the moon.
That's better than flying shite at apprentices, Mark.
It's hurting my head, geese piece. Blue cards.
He's been so articulate all night, and then the blue cards are coming out, and he went tonto.
Blue cards, man. He's peace.
Right. Okay. So halfway through the show, I asked you, John Gregg won a European Cup winners' cup tie against Real Zaragoza on the toss of a coin. What country's currency was used? I hope none of you have been googling. That would really spoil.
I'm trying to think where the referee came from because it'll be his currency. It'll be the currency of the referee. And I've got a feeling, and I haven't checked it. I've got a feeling the referee was Italian.
Brian.
I don't know.
I don't know if I'm getting stories mixed up, but there was an occasion where it was a Dutch referee and there was a Dutch coin used, but I can't remember if it was Rangers or somebody else.
So you're going for somebody else. Go on then, Mark.
I was going to say Italian, but I can't go to say it as well, so I'll say Portuguese.
Right, okay. Well, listen, none of yous are correct. It was actually, I'm reliably informed, it was a French franc that was used. So there you are. There's something new we've all learnt tonight. It was a French franc. Okay, then. Listen, that's it. We'll call it a night there. The women's show follows us. Am I right in saying that?
No. Tomorrow night we can't get everybody. Yep. We can't get everybody available tonight. So we need to go with a full squad. We've got three games to discuss. The cup win against Dundee United. The win last Wednesday against Hearts and the disappointing draw yesterday with Partick Thistle at Peters Hill. And obviously, we've got an Old Firm game to look forward to on Sunday. So we're doing it tomorrow night, 7:30. So this slot, tomorrow night, myself, Brian, Laura and Carr will be talking about the women's team, how they've been getting on. Still unbeaten, by the way. Still 4 points clear at the top of the league. In one cup final, in a quarter final. And incidentally, interestingly, before you go, because we haven't touched on the cup draw, I'll just throw that at you. The men's first team have drawn to play Hibs at Easter Road. It will be the Sunday because we play in Europe on the Thursday. The women's team play Hibs at Meadowbank the same day in the cup quarterfinal. How spooky is that?
Will it be staggered kickoff times? Will you be able to catch
one? I'd like to think one will kick off at one and one will kick off at four, but I really can't see it.
Right. Okay.
It would be nice. But yeah,
we'll watch that one with bated breath. We are back on Wednesday night with a build-up in reaction as well from the Ross County game. There's a Friday night pod, and then obviously the weekend's game against St John's. So we'll see you get your build-up in reaction as well. So have your notifications on. Listen, guys, thanks for joining me tonight. Wolf, Mark, Brian, pleasure. And we'll see you all through the week. Thank Always. You. Podcast Network.